Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for Mary, for her humble obedience, for her faith in the midst of things that were very difficult to understand. We beg you, O Lord, that as we look to her example this night, that we would be turned from her to the fruit of her womb, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who took human flesh to walk the way of the cross, to rise again for our salvation. It is in His holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Our service tonight will be the order of Vespers. I'll be on page 229. And our opening hymn is number 933. It is a paraphrase, a musical setting of Mary's song, number 933.
Continue with the order of Vespers, page 229. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O
Amen.
continue with the introit. The office hymn is By All Your Saints in Warfare, page 518, verses 1, 22, and 3. The Old Testament reading for the festival of St. Mary, Mother of our Lord, is from Isaiah chapter 61. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as the bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. O Lord, have mercy on us. The epistle is from Galatians, chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for them, for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the common responsory. Page 230. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is my feet, the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening is the gospel lesson, expanded from what you have in the bulletin, that entire gospel lesson, written in the first chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke, dear friends in Christ. There once was a pregnant teenager, only 15 years old, without a job, without money, without much hope. She is scorned by the world around her, looked down upon by her friends and neighbors. Her parents, well, they're furious, upset that their daughter has brought shame on the entire family. Her fiancé should be angry, but he's more sad. He has worked so hard to remain pure, to do everything in this relationship the way that God has asked him to, and he thought that she was the same way. But not only had she apparently cheated on him, now she was pregnant. He clearly can't stay with her, can he? He must go his own way. And so with one announcement, one moment, everything has fallen apart for this young girl. She feels completely alone. Now, there are plenty of voices in our world that would be glad to help her in her difficult situation. That advice comes from doctors, from the media, from intellectuals, from all the clinics that we find around our country. And the first statement they tell her is the most basic, even if they don't use it in so many words. There isn't really a real human in your womb. Sure, it's a potential person, a potential human, if it ever sees the light of day, but for right now, it's just a bunch of cells. Now, some of the more extreme feminists will even call it a parasite, something that growing within her that simply takes nutrients away, without contributing anything to her health. They use sterile, accurate, but sterile terms like zygote, embryo, or fetus, anything but baby. Because if it's a real human being, then if it isn't a real human being, then it isn't really murder. Just a medical procedure, like removing a tumor. It's your body to do with what you want to. No one should be able to tell you what to do with that which is your own. These voices want her to look out for her own interests. They want her to give in to her fears and take the steps necessary to eliminate the source of that fear. They don't want her to place her trust in anything else, anyone else, certainly not in God. Now, we have wanted control from the very beginning, you know that. And in a world of abortion on demand, we have it in a very crucial area of human existence. See, God no longer gives children when and where He pleases. We have become the gods. We control this most important and vital part of human life. We have conquered nature and its creator. Life is in our hands. We don't have to trust anyone but ourselves because we are in the driver's seat. We have become gods. If that pregnant teenager had lived today, she would have heard those voices. You know it. And perhaps, though I think this teenage girl was made of sterner stuff than this, but perhaps she would have given in. There would certainly be the danger, at least it would be legal, for her child to be killed. And that girl's name, well, you know it. It's Mary. And the child, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. Think about it. If Jesus had been conceived today, there would be plenty of voices telling Mary to have him aborted. But while Mary was afraid, nervous, not quite sure what to do with these great events swirling around her, she didn't put her trust in herself. She didn't seek control. Instead, she placed herself into the hands of the Lord, even saying in our text, "Behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." For she knew who dwelt within her womb. Our God spent 9 months in the womb of the Virgin Mary, sanctifying the womb and every other stage of life by passing through it just like you and me. Christ's work of salvation didn't begin on Christmas Eve, dear friends. It began at the moment of Christ's conception. Even when both of them were in the womb, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, who even in Mary's womb is our Lord, our Savior, our God. As Mary sings in our text, God's eye is toward the little ones, the weak, the small, the insignificant. It is they whom God seeks to exalt through the work of His Son. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. She sings of the great reversal, that this child in her womb will topple the mighty and exalt the lowly, those brought low by their sin and in desperate need of salvation. God's eye is toward the humble, the little ones, those who cannot defend themselves. That's why we baptize babies. And that's why we defend them in the womb and at every vulnerable stage of life. You see, life was Christ's most important issue. That's the reason why He came. He came to bring life. Because death reigned since Adam and Eve followed Satan's advice and tried to become like God. Death is a scourge on our planet, our greatest enemy, for which we have no solution. You see, abortion, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, all the things that come along with them, are all tragic attempts to wield our greatest enemy as a tool, an instrument, to solve all our problems. And those attempts are all doomed to failure. For there is only one who could use death as a tool, and that was Jesus Christ. He used death against itself. When death thought that it had claimed God's Son, Jesus burst from that tomb victorious over it. In the moment of His death, Jesus broke the bonds of death. For His death satisfied God's wrath. His death paid the price for the sin of the world. He gave Himself up willingly into death, in your place, in my place, in the place of all. Without sin, death has no more power. It's an empty shell. Christ's resurrection proves it. Now death is His tool, His instrument, not ours, His instrument to bring His children to Himself. You see, when a Christian dies, they don't endure eternal death, but they have passed from death to life. Jesus now uses death, our greatest enemy, as the doorway to eternal life, the path which brings His beloved children, you and me, to the very glories of heaven. His gift is life. Life forever. And He can only give that gift of life because He first gives forgiveness. That is what pours into our hearts through baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper, the forgiveness of all our sins, the forgiveness that reconciles us with our God, the forgiveness which opens heaven to us. And the good news this evening and every time you gather in this place is that this forgiveness is for all sinners, even those who sinned against life. If you are filled with the guilt of a past abortion, these words are for you. You are forgiven. Christ died for you. He shed His blood for you. He has taken your guilt upon Himself. He has washed away your sin. If you have been involved in pressuring someone to have an abortion as a boyfriend, fiance, husband, father, mother, or friend, you are forgiven. Christ bore these sins to the cross along with all the rest. You see, even doctors and nurses who have participated in the taking of human life are forgiven only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The same forgiveness that is yours and mine for every other sin. You see, that's why Mary can rejoice. Even in the midst of a crisis pregnancy, even though she'll return from her visit with Elizabeth, 3 months pregnant, and entering into the center of a firestorm back in Nazareth. Her child has come to forgive every sin, to wipe away every stain. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And then at the end, she tells us why. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. He promised salvation. God did. And He delivered. And Elizabeth's words are one more testimony that the redemption long prepared now dwells within Mary's womb. That she is carrying the very one who will win forgiveness for every one of your sins. It is this message of love, of grace, that we bring to those who face the challenges and burdens of unexpected pregnancies, all those Marys in our world today who feel scared and alone. We come beside them as Elizabeth did. We stand with them as Joseph did, and we know he had a little encouragement from some dreams, but he stood beside her. And we encourage them and seek to help them protect and preserve life. And we speak the words of forgiveness, of healing, where they have failed. We proclaim to them a God we can trust to provide, who gives great gifts to His people. We speak the word of law where we must, but we also proclaim the love of a God who bore all their sins to the cross and there paid the price for them. Our God is a God of life. Life for the unborn child and eternal life for the repentant sinner. For you, for me, for all people. In the name of the one who sanctified all life by dwelling in Mary's womb, than walking in the way of the cross and coming out alive again in the empty tomb. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We now stand for the singing of the Magnificat, page 231. 231. This time, I'd like to welcome you once again to Good Shepherd this evening as we gather to hear the word of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please sign in and pass it along. At this time also, we receive our gifts and our offerings. continue and conclude with the prayers on page 233, beginning with the Kyrie. Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord be with you. Almighty God, you chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of your only Son. Grant that we who are redeemed by his blood may share with her in the glory of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. We celebrate with every baptism. We especially give you thanks and praise for the baptism of Emma Kathleen, daughter of Mark and Bethany Kranz, baptized recently. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Vernita, Betty, and Kelly, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy, grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all of our needs. We thank you for providing for the education of our children through the various schools of our land, especially Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School and Preschool. We thank and praise you for a successful start to the year this past week, and we thank and praise you for the students and the teachers who serve therein. Be with all those who study, all those who teach in our community, grant to them your grace. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy, grant your grace, O Lord, to all of our confirmation students as they prepare to begin another year of instruction, that they would be strengthened in the faith delivered in their baptisms. Lord, in your mercy, lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy, we trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and to answer us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, our heavenly Father, O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn, number 935. 935. Crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple of announcements. First of all, as mentioned in the prayers, two things as mentioned in the prayers. Our day school and our preschool started out yesterday morning. And so we give God great thanks and praise for providing more students. increase in enrollment this year. So thanks be to God for that. There were a lot of excited people here yesterday to see that. And we pray that the Lord would continue to provide. Midweek school, our confirmation classes begin next Wednesday night, 5:30 p.m. Right in the fellowship hall, we'll have our confirmation meeting. I think the letter was supposed to go out this week. I don't know if it's out yet, but you'll be getting it soon. And so that is next week on the 24th. Tomorrow, 1 p.m., Lifelight, Job. It'll be my last Lifelight for a while. So we'll be working on Job chapter 38 and getting towards the end of that book. And then we'll start the Gospel of St. Mark in a few weeks. I'm not sure how much longer it's going to take us in Job. Let me think if there are any other announcements coming up the rest of the week. I think that's the main long and short of it, unless anyone else has anything else. Waving madly. Going once, going twice. Nothing. Okay. Lord be with you this day, this week, in the Lord as we rejoice in His wondrous gifts. God's blessings.